SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Football Full Circle on this Thursday, live right here on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. I am Ben Stevens alongside Joe Lisi once again, and it's kind of a holiday here on FFC. It's NFL schedule release day, Lisi, although we kind of already know what's going to happen.
We flipped the tables, Ben, right? We've been talking all week about college football, college futures, yep, college football schedules, and all of a sudden they flipped the switch on us. We got the NFL schedule out. I'm chomping at the bit. Marquee matchups. I saw one matchup, the rematch of the Super Bowl a couple of years ago between Mahomes and Brady. Doesn't get better than this, does it?
No, not at all. Well, kind of, actually, if you ask me, because the NFL schedule release, Lisi, kind of angers me. Like, we already know the opponents. We know where the games are going to be played, whether home or away for your favorite team. We just don't necessarily know the order or the times and exact dates. And they give you, like, a little bit every now and then. They give you a couple sprinkles. Like, here's the five international games. Here's this random Thursday night football game between the Chiefs and the Chargers that we learned at the draft. Oh, here's a week two Monday night football doubleheader. Oh, there's that week four Sunday night football game announced this morning between the Bucs and the Chiefs. Just give us the schedule. But the NFL is very, very good at monetizing literally everything. There was once a time, Joe Lisi, not all that long ago, where the NFL draft was not this big television production traveling around from city to city where you saw nearly a million NFL fans there for the entirety of the weekend. It used to just be a thing where you posted the list and that was it. And then they're like, oh, we can get TV money off of this. It's the same with the schedule release show later tonight on this Thursday evening. But if we already kind of know what's happening and they give you little sprinkles here and there and little teaser bits, just give us the schedule already.
I'm with you. I need to know immediately. And from the gambling perspective, the quicker we have all the information, the quicker we can make an important decisions as it relates to futures and potential team win totals, right? So they drag it out. They're great at what they do. They're not a billion-dollar industry and company because they don't know what they're doing. They drag it out. They get the sponsorship. They get eyes on their product. And that's why it's a 365-day-a-year type of business. And that's why we're on 24/7, right, Ben? Talking college and pro football.
Absolutely so, Lisi. That's why we have Football Full Circle. That's why we do both the NFL and college, and we rotate on a daily basis with a sprinkle of both maybe in every hour that we have here on a weekday basis on the Sports Grid Radio Network. I think what you just brought up right there from a gambling perspective is so crucial, because just because you know the opponents and where the game is going to be played, how the order sequentiates itself and when exactly the time of year it is and what exactly it looks like, and maybe even the time of day, Joe, can affect what you are going to look at for your team win totals. Because the way I do team win totals, Lisi, and we kind of showed this a little bit last week as we were going through some maybe for college football, starting to estimate what they might look like, is I literally look at all 17 games, and I'll say if I feel it's a true win, if I think it's more than likely 75%, there'll be at least a 4.5, 5-point favorite to win the game outright, I'll give it a 1. I'll take tallies. There's a 1, there's a 2, and I just add up, and it's basic math. If I think it's a toss-up, if I think the game could go either way, I call that a hook. And then you just do the math by the end of the time, and you see how close your number gets, at least from how you think about things, to what the number looks like on the FanDuel Sportsbook or whatever sportsbook provider you use out there. So if you're going through a schedule, let's say you're taking the Cincinnati Bengals schedule, and you're looking through, and you're like, oh, they got a late November game in conference against this team, and a divisional game in early December against the Ravens, and I like this one, I like that one, and you're adding up, and you're like, oh, that totals out to 9.5. And then you go to your favorite sports book and you look at the team win total for the Cincinnati Bengals this year, and you see it's at, oh, 9.5, even juice on both sides at -110. Maybe you feel a way to make a wager on the team win total.
It's a great approach, and I know Carver will bash me on this. It's May. You can't go win-loss. But if you're betting futures, you sort of have to project out, right? You have to project out if you're going to make a futures bet. Now, obviously, if you have a good gauge on a team in terms of philosophy, type of personnel, that's one thing. But I'll take one team in particular. Tennessee Titans last year, first overall seed in the AFC. That gauntlet, remember the five-stretch game in terms of the teams that they faced? Indianapolis, L.A. Rams, Kansas City, Buffalo. If you would have looked at that preseason, you're thinking there's no way they're going to win five straight. No way. No. And all of a sudden, they ripped through that schedule, and they were the best team in terms of the NFL, and that's what catapulted them in terms of the first seed in the AFC. So, you know, schedule, where it falls, these certain teams, is so important. We see it on the college level as well. Back-to-back road games affect college kids more in terms of the collegiate aspect than the NFL. But when you have interconference games as well, AFC, NFC, and you're traveling, that could put a lot of pressure on a particular team whether they get over the hump or not.
Certainly so. When you look at the Titans last year, like Lisi said, 12 wins in the regular season. Their team win total last year, 9.5. A very easy over for the number one overall seed a season ago in the Tennessee Titans within the AFC. And Lisi's right. If you would have looked at that middle portion to early November and you see Buffalo, KC, Indianapolis, and Los Angeles, that being the Rams, you would have thought, I'm not going to add any of those up, or maybe there's just a half against Indianapolis if you do it based on my system. And they were booked as at least a field goal underdog, Lisi, in all four of those games. And of course, they went outright. The beauty of gambling and whatever strategy and technique you use. We'll continue to discuss NFL schedule release day here on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio and what it all means for the futures market. We take a look next. Stay with us.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A holiday in the football world, perhaps. Schedule release day in the National Football League, and we continue to take an early preview of what we might see tonight and what we already know here on FFC on this Thursday, live on Sports Grid Radio. It's Ben Stevens and Joe Lisi here with you. And Lisi, we got a couple of games that we already know of, and a couple of odds already booked for those games early on here, even in the month of May. One that we got sprinkled out, as the NFL likes to tease their schedule release, is what we learned at the 2022 NFL Draft, that on one of the first Thursday night football games of the season, not the opening Thursday night, but one of the first true TNF games, the Chargers and the Chiefs in a great divisional matchup in Arrowhead on that Thursday night. KC, a 3-point favorite right now, Joe, with an over-under at 52.5. Is it too early to dive into the odds?
No. We know that the Chargers play Kansas City very tough. You have to bet the Chargers in Arrowhead and against the Chargers at home, right? What do they lose now? Like 9 straight now to the Kansas City Chiefs at home? They lost the overtime game on a Thursday night. They had Pat Mahomes and Travis Kelce on the ropes, couldn't close the door. That overtime touchdown where Kelce's zigzagging straight through the defense, matriculating, as Hank Stram used to say. But on the road, you got to bet Justin Herbert, especially earlier in the year. Weather's not going to be a factor. I'll take my chances with Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, and Justin Herbert. Why not?
And as we look at the Chargers last year in 2021 as an away team, and you go further against the spread record, even 500, 4-4 ATS for the Chargers as an underdog last year, Lisi, Los Angeles under their second year quarterback, now into his third campaign in the NFL as an underdog, the Chargers 3-2 against the number, covering by an average margin of about 2.5 points per game. It's all the things that you can start to do as you look at these lines being brought out there for all of the NFL games that we will have. The Chiefs booked as a favorite in every one of their games each of the last two seasons. And if the odds are an indication early on for 2022, they will probably be booked as a favorite until proven otherwise. Even when the Chiefs were struggling last year, Lisey, if you remember, and everybody says, is this the end of KC? What's wrong with Patrick Mahomes? He's throwing so many interceptions, turning the football over like crazy. They still remained a favorite from the odds perspective based on the numbers and the power ratings and the algorithms. And that's why we have these odds already out.
Well, without a doubt, the power rankings do affect the early futures and the early lines in terms of the books. That's how the books establish these, I want to say, you know, lines down the future, right? The algorithms put it out based off of power rankings. They tweak it a little bit. But you're absolutely right. I mean, there is an opportunity to pick off value. If you believe that teams based off of last year's success got better, whether it be free agency or the draft, as long as they have a quarterback that is consistent, right? I'm not talking about Tua with Miami, right, or somebody else like Carson Wentz in Washington. We're talking about the consistent quarterback play that goes with some of the elite QBs in the AFC and NFC like Rodgers, Mahomes. You can then dictate or sort of pick off value depending upon road or home contest. So that's why I like LA against Kansas City. Traditionally, they've been a better road team against the Chiefs, not so good at home. And then when you look at some of the other matchups as well, I mean, Kansas City, Tennessee, and Minnesota, Philly are two intriguing matchups, both in the AFC and in NFC respectively.
Lisey, are you already locked in for September 15th, that Thursday night? Are you taking Chargers with the points and the field goal on the road in Kansas City?
Yeah, I will be taking it, but I tell you, you know, it's college football season. Whether I'm watching that diehard as much as I'm watching the Thursday night college football game, I can't give you that. But if there's no college football or the game ends early, then I'll dial back in. But early on, I would take the points with the Chargers. Plus, we don't even know what to expect right now from Kansas City's offense without big play wide receiver Tyreek Hill. We understand Valdez-Scantling is there, Juju Smith-Schuster is there, Mecole Hardman steps up, but what does that offense look like for Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy now, especially when there's a lot of pressure? You know, EB is a one-year deal. If you loved Eric Bieniemy as the offensive play caller, why didn't you sign him to a long-term extension? So I'm not buying in to this love for Eric Bieniemy, even though he's one of my favorite all-time Colorado running backs.
Yeah, you love what he did on the field with the Buffs, certainly so. And when you look at an odds perspective, KC, a slight field goal favorite for week number two on that Thursday night at home inside Arrowhead against the Los Angeles Chargers. As you go bigger picture here, the team win totals for both LA and KC, which will certainly factor in after we get the full schedule in full force later tonight. The Chiefs, 10.5, even money on both sides, minus 110 for that juice, Lisey, for the over and the under. The same thing for Los Angeles, just a hook taken off that overall win total. It's 10 for the Chargers, and it's at minus 110 in terms of the juice on both the over and the under. Once again, KC is the favorite still to win the AFC West, despite all of the moves by the three other teams in this division throughout the offseason. But Kansas City, plus 155. The Chargers, the second best price, less than a dollar behind, a plus 240. The Broncos now with Russell Wilson, plus 260, and the Raiders bring up the rear with the fourth best odds out of the four teams in this division at 7-1. Lisey, does the schedule and having it out and where you can see everything, what does it affect most from your future betting perspective? Does it affect looking at an early line? Does it affect looking at your team win totals? Or might it change your mind about how a divisional market looks or the odds to win a conference championship?
I think it's team win totals and a divisional matchup, right, in terms of title, which team potentially could steal it. And that's why when you bring up, in particular, the AFC West, I'm not sold on what the books and the public have established as maybe the best teams in the conference. I do feel that L.A. and Kansas City have some weaknesses, right? We don't know what to expect out of the KC defense now that Honey Badger is over in New Orleans. Nobody seems to mention that. The kid is a ball hawk. How does that affect in terms of turnover margin for Kansas City this year? And L.A., I know that Staley's in his third year now, or second year, right? At the end of the day, I'm not sold on his play calling. I think they're a better early team than they are late. That affected their ability to get to the playoffs. But I'll say this overall, you know, in the fact that we have these lines out, that we have Kansas City as an established favorite in a number of games, I'm not buying into four straight AFC championships. You know, the intensity to keep that week to week, year to year, is so difficult, a la Buffalo Bills, that I think you might see slight regression. And you might have four teams in the AFC West that beat up everybody, and maybe the division winner's at 9-8. So maybe they all go under. But I'll tell you this, it's affecting me because I'm taking a shot on Las Vegas. Nobody's given this team any love, and I think that Las Vegas has significantly upgraded better than some of the other teams that I'm buying into Devontae Adams and Max Crosby and Chandler Jones.
And it's interesting when you see the odds in the division. Again, the Chargers 20 cents ahead of the Broncos, but LA's team win total is at 10. It's even juice on both sides. Kansas City, 10.5, even juice at minus 110 for both the over and the under. The Broncos, though, Lisi, despite being behind LA in this marketplace to win the AFC West, actually has a slightly higher team win total at 10.5. The over, tons of plus money, plus 134 for Denver next year, minus 160 to the under. It's always good to correlate the markets, and I agree with Lisi. Team win totals is where I think the full schedule release affects your numbers the most as you place your future bets for this NFL offseason, looking forward to the 2022 regular season as well. So as we have given you now three of the four team win totals within this division, the Raiders, the longest odds to win, are at 8 for their team win total, but the over has the juice at minus 130. There's an expectation, Joe, that all four teams in this division will be somewhere around 9, 10, 11, maybe even 12 wins. But all four teams right around 9 or 10 at the bare minimum. Can they all get there having to play everybody twice in this division? We'll discuss that next and what it means for the AFC conference overall. Stay with us here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle returns here on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. It's NFL schedule release day, and we're taking a look at what that could mean for the odds and the bets you might want to place here throughout the NFL offseason as we get ready for the 2022 campaign. And Lisi, we were just discussing the AFC West, and we've said the Chiefs are still the favorites, about 85 cents ahead of the LA Chargers. The Chiefs at plus 155, the Chargers plus 240, the Broncos plus 260, and the Raiders, the longest odds of the four, at plus 700. The Broncos and Chiefs team win total 10.5, although the under has the juice for Denver. LA's team win total is 10, even juice on both sides. The Raiders team win total is 8. The over has the juice at minus 130. We know this division is going to be stacked, Lisi, but not all of these teams, not all four of them, can win 10 games. So what might that mean for their hopes of making the postseason? That's the argument now as you try to handicap the AFC getting ready for the 2022 NFL season.
It is. I think you have to take a broad approach and say, okay, which quarterback do I feel best about? All right, that's Pat Mahomes. Everything surrounding Pat Mahomes, is it there and is it as consistent as it was in terms of years past? No, it's not. So that's the question mark with Kansas City. And coupled with the fact of, I think it's very difficult in terms of keeping, maybe not for Mahomes, but the team as a whole. When you have expectations to win a Super Bowl each and every year, it weighs on you the more times you don't get there, right? They're starting to regress. You get there in terms of winning the Super Bowl against San Francisco. You get back. You get blown out by Tom Brady. Everything's back on you. Last year, they get to the AFC Championship game. There's no way they can't win double-digit favored, and Joe Burrow steals the show, right? Now that affects the team. They start pressing. That puts pressure on all the defensive players in particular games, and then does the coaching staff feel the pressure? Not just Andy Reid, but the coordinators. So I think that's the concern for Kansas City. Even though he's dead on, he's probably going to put up 5,000 yards well over this year, maybe 40-plus touchdowns. They might not get there. So the concern for me is, which coach do you believe outside of Andy Reid can really get there? And I think it's Josh McDaniels, in the sense of he had his opportunity in Denver. He failed. He understands what he needs to do differently in terms of that last ride, right? He doesn't have Tim Tebow. That's a godsend in itself. When you have Derek Carr, a quarterback that put up 8 300-yard games, you have the best potential tight end in the conference in Darren Waller. You have Devontae Adams, possibly the best wide receiver with Tyreek Hill. The pieces are there to grow, and not only that, you have two bookends. Nobody brings up the bookends in terms of Max Crosby and Chandler Jones that could potentially just put pressure on opposing quarterbacks. I'll take my chances again. Vegas, for some reason, doesn't get the love from the books. I don't know if it's reverse psychology, but last year they were 6.5 win total. Gruden gets fired. They go on a heater. Now you're going to only put 8 on this team when everybody else is potentially 9.5 and 10, and this is the team that almost knocked off Joe Burrow with an interim head coach? Come on now.
Plus 205 to make the postseason for a second straight year, because, of course, the Raiders made the playoffs in the AFC a season ago. And it would be so interesting, Joe, to have the Kansas City conversation throughout the year, right? Under that wonderful offensive mastermind of Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and his play calling, now with Patrick Mahomes obviously still at the helm of that offense. Will it be that offensive system and how high-powered it is that creates the wide receiver production, or was Tyreek Kill the reason that Kansas City was able to be as good as they were offensively? It doesn't have to be that such stark dichotomy, but these things will be able to play themselves out a little bit here in this 2022 NFL campaign. And Lisa, I think it's wonderful that you brought up, which coach do you trust the most in this division? Because of course, right now that has to be Andy Reid, given his pedigree, not only here as of late, but through the entirety of his NFL career. But there is some optimism yet again on Brandon Staley in his second year at the helm of the Los Angeles Chargers. Last year in the preseason, the favorite to win the AP NFL Coach of the Year. This year, Brandon Staley, one of the three favorite prices to win the NFL Coach of the Year. 14-1 is the number on Brandon Staley, alongside Doug Peterson for Jacksonville in his first year and Brian Daboll in his first year for the New York Giants. All three of those coaches at 14-1, but for Brandon Staley to be back there, Joe, when you look through most of the rest of this board and it's all rookie head coaches, goes to show you how the marketplace values not only Brandon Staley, but maybe the Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, without a doubt. And think about some of the games that they played last year, right? They had mental lapses. Brandon Staley's coaching obviously cost his team a wild card berth against the Las Vegas Raiders last game of the regular season, right? He outcoached himself in that ballgame. I said he's so smart, sometimes coaches become stupid. And let's not forget, they had a mental lapse against the against Kansas City, where they had the big lead, but the Pittsburgh game Sunday night, they had a 17-point lead. You blinked. They're down by 4. How did that happen? Yeah. That was Brandon Staley, right? So there have been mental lapses with the LA Chargers. Now, all things being considered, they should have one of the most explosive offenses. The rushing attack, should Eckler stay healthy, I think they'll be there. But at the end of the day, I still have concerns about the defense. Forget the front seven. We know that Derwin James is healthy. He played a majority of the games, if not all of them, last year. But the concern is still the secondary. They have shown tendencies to get burned over the top. If they're not getting pressure, they're getting burned by opposing quarterbacks. So they need to buckle down this year, and that's the concern I have. I don't buy into coaches just because the public puts them as the front runners. Until you do it, and until you do it when it counts, I can't put money on that, Ben. I just can't. And you know what? The pressure's on Staley. The pressure's on Hackett, because now Hackett is expected to get Russell Wilson to the promised land, something Pete Carroll couldn't do over the past couple of seasons in Seattle.
It's so funny to look at the AFC West from a coaching perspective. Two new head coaches with their organization. Of course, Josh McDaniels has previous HC experience, although we could debate how successful he was. And Nathaniel Hackett, now the former offensive coordinator in Green Bay the last few seasons, at the helm of the Denver Broncos. He's 16-1, only a couple of dollars behind Brandon Staley as one of the front runners to win the Coach of the Year in the NFL next season. Josh McDaniels also 16-1. And Joe, when you look at this Coach of the Year market, there's a lot of young head coaches, or at least head coaches in their first year with a new NFL organization. As I look at the top 8 best odds right now, 5 of the 8 are in their first year with their new NFL team. In Doug Peterson, Brian Daboll, Kevin O'Connell for the Minnesota Vikings, now the former OC in Los Angeles for the Rams, Mike McDaniel for the Miami Dolphins, Josh McDaniels, and Nathaniel Hackett. So actually make that 6 of the top 8. Only Nick Sirianni in his second year with Philadelphia and Brandon Staley in his second year with the Chargers are the two coaches, Joe, in the top 8 best prices that are not after or that are not a rookie head coach, or at least a head coach in his first year with that given NFL organization. It's interesting because that means that you're expected to do big things in your first year at the helm. What does the result have to look like for these head coaches in their first year for a new NFL organization to get picked as the winner here, Joe? What if the Giants go 6-11?
Nope.
Is Brian Daboll going to win Coach of the Year?
No. I think closer to 500, 8-9. I think Daboll could win. But you know, you see,
right, but what if they're not a playoff team? Like, what's the expectation? You know, like,
well, I'll give you an example here of maybe terrible teams with coaches. Right, Dan Campbell gets over 6.5 wins this year in year number 2 with Detroit. I think that he could be Coach of the Year at 30-1. You know, because that's progression, right? I mean, Detroit's looked at as the bottom dweller in terms of the conference. They're looked at one of the worst teams and worst organizations in the NFL. If he gets them to 8 wins, but they miss out on the playoffs, guess what? I think Dan Campbell has to be mentioned for Coach of the Year, right? Brian Daboll, right. The New York market, the expectations. We know that the New York Giants suck, right, Ben? And they're in a major rebuild, but it's still New York, right? It's not Jacksonville. It's not, you know, Carolina. It's New York. The expectations in New York, whether it be, you know, drinking the Kool-Aid or not, is that, you know, eventually you better get to the playoffs. So if Brian Daboll gets them to 6-11, 7-10, it's great, but no Coach of the Year. I think the 3 candidates for me, or 4, and I want to get your take. So Campbell, please. Sean McDermott, Bill Belichick, and how about this O'Connell with Minnesota? You have all the pieces in place from an offensive perspective. Cook, Cousins. You have, obviously, Justin Jefferson and Thielen. You can't win with that type of offense. Something's cooking there.
Absolutely so, especially because he was hired as an offensive-minded head coach under Sean McVay for the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams. So, Lisi, let's take these odds right now and look at the last 5 winners of the AP Coach of the Year in the NFL over the past 5 seasons. Mike Vrabel last year in 2021, the head coach of the number 1 overall seed in the AFC, the Tennessee Titans. Kevin Stefanski 2 years ago in 2020, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, got them to the playoffs. John Harbaugh in 2019, of course, the Ravens were a front runner most of that year in the AFC. Matt Nagy in his first year in Chicago. So, yes, a first-year head coach, but a coach that got to the postseason. Sean McVay in 2017 and all that he did early on with Los Angeles getting to the playoffs. You need, I think, Joe, to be in the postseason to cash an NFL Coach of the Year award. We'll look at that next here on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Football Full Circle rolls on this Thursday, a Thursday that is also known as NFL Schedule Release Day across the sports landscape. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. We have given our thoughts on the schedule release and what we might see later on this evening when the full docket is there for our two eyes to see. But it has led us to a conversation about the futures market. How can we take the schedule, although we already know the opponents and where the games will be played, how can we take the actual order and put it into the futures market? Most likely it pertains to the team win totals, but it will also then affect divisional odds, conference odds, and maybe even individual awards, which has opened up, in my opinion, a really good conversation, Joe, about the AP NFL Coach of the Year Award and what it truly takes based on expectation to win this award on a yearly basis within the National Football League. So we were just saying it before the break. The last five winners of this award, Mike Vrabel last year for Tennessee, Kevin Stefanski in 2020 for Cleveland, John Harbaugh, the head coach of the Baltimore Ravens 3 years back, Matt Nagy in his first year with the Chicago Bears in 2018, a playoff team that year, though, and then Sean McVay in 2017, leading the Rams to the postseason as well. What do all five of those coaches have in common? They all got to the playoffs. So that's something you need to know, Joe, when you start to handicap this market for Coach of the Year.
It really is. And I think also as well as what's the talent around the coach, right? Because if you have a marquee quarterback, let's just say Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady type or Mahomes. Yes. And let's say the team does overexceed expectations. Does the quarterback or the player overshadow the coach? That's another area where I think you have to take into perspective is that when Stefanski won, he basically had an up-and-coming quarterback in terms of Baker Mayfield, right? Vrabel as well, Ryan Tannehill, good, not elite, right? So that's why the head coach gets the awards or accolades. I think it's really an interesting cap in the sense of, okay, we have to sort of pick teams that don't have a marquee quarterback that can potentially have a great record and then overexceed expectations. So if we look at this list, what are our options at that particular standpoint then, right? Is it maybe Peterson that has a second-year quarterback in Trevor Lawrence that really hasn't done anything, but he can elevate them to new levels where Urban Meyer couldn't? That might be a situation as well.
Lisi, I'm glad you brought up the word expectation because I think that plays a huge part in how this market is handicapped as well and ultimately who gets the award. Because let's look at Sean McDermott, for example, the head coach of the Buffalo Bills. As you scroll down the list, you'll find McDermott with his odds pretty far down there at 25-1, probably within some of the longest odds to win this award right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. And it's 25-1 on Sean McDermott, probably for the relative expectation for Buffalo. Booked as the favorites to win the AFC, the favorites currently to win the Super Bowl as well. If Sean McDermott has Buffalo win 14 games this year, and they're the top seed in the AFC and a clear front runner for the Super Bowl by the time we get there, because it's still a regular season award getting you into the postseason, is that good enough based on expectation? If Sean McDermott takes a 14-3 Buffalo Bills team as the number one overall seed in the AFC, maybe as opposed to Nick Sirianni in his second year with the Philadelphia Eagles, who gets Jalen Hurts and that offense group now to the divisional crown in the NFC East. Who wins, Joe, in this hypothetical comparing Sean McDermott with relative expectation for Buffalo as the preseason Super Bowl favorites and maybe a Philly team that has the second best odds to win the NFC East and is not really seen as a true contender if they can get to that level of winning their division?
That's tough. That is tough, but I would say it's Buffalo. Just because it's in that situation, I think it's Buffalo. It's a tough one because Sirianni has elevated the team, right? People thought
already,
there would be
right
in year one. So now we have set that expectation. So playoffs or winning the division, good. But if they have a 14-3 record, yes. But if like Philly is like 10-7 and they win the East or 11-6, I don't know. It would be the same argument with McCarthy. I mean, think about McCarthy. There's no shot Mike McCarthy's winning it, right? No shot. They would much rather give it to Jerry Jones than they would Mike McCarthy in terms of that. You could have a robot out there playing Madden, and they would give it to that over Mike McCarthy. So I would give it to McDermott. I think if Buffalo and they dominate, Ben, they dominate the way Kansas City did a couple of years ago, just boat racing everybody, or 3 years ago when they went against San Francisco, I think you give it to McDermott. But they can't have mental lapse. No lapses. Right. You can't allow the Patriots to rush for 300 on you on a Monday night.
And it's so interesting, right? Because as we look at these past five winners, a pretty decent sample size to try to get our heads right for where this market might move in 2022, it's all about that relative expectation. The Buffalo Bills are expected to be great this year, but they're still not a perennial powerhouse within the AFC. If Sean McDermott can finally bring them to the promised land, a postseason victory in an AFC championship, that might be enough. But that's why when you look at this board right now, Joe, and you see two of the three favorites being Brian Daboll and Doug Peterson, if Dougie P leads Jacksonville to seven wins, one over their team win total, sure, you cash that ticket, but that's not going to win him the award. If Brian Daboll gets New York to seven wins, that's not going to win him the award if they don't make the postseason. And with seven wins, they're not making the postseason. So that's why you need to take what your expectation is for this team and add it up to postseason success, because all five of the last five winners of the NFL Coach of the Year have had their team in the postseason. And even when it was a first-year head coach in Sean McVay in 2017 with the Rams, or Matt Nagy in 2018 with the Bears, or Kevin Stefanski in 2020 with the Browns, yes, it was a first-year head coach, so you have that narrative, but they got their team to the playoffs, and that might be one of the biggest things we know.
Yeah, and that's why I like O'Connell at 16-1, because they're not expected to win the division over Aaron Rodgers. Still, they have a foundation. They have a veteran team. So it's almost like, okay, let's see if you could do it. If you do it and you surprise everybody, wow, they knocked off Aaron Rodgers. O'Connell, I think, I think wins it. So I think he's one of my selections at 16-1 that I think has value. Outside of that, it's tough, Ben. I don't know. I can't think of another guy. I mean, you want an outright dark horse flyer? Yeah. Pete Carroll at 40-1.
Oh.
It's Pete Carroll. I mean, if he leads this team to 11 wins with Drew Locke, no Russell Wilson.
But there's not a shot they're doing that, right?
No,
You know, like that's
well,
the thing,
that's
though.
The other, that's the flip. That's the downside. I'm giving you the upside. Right. I'm selling you right now on the.
I know, and you're selling me well. But with a 5.5 team win total, although the over has the juice, like you're not gonna do anything in that scenario, which would lead to an NFL Coach of the Year award, unless they double that number and somehow do win a very competitive NFC West, or maybe even make the playoffs as a wild card spot. But that's why Pete Carroll is one of the five head coaches right now in the NFL, tied for the longest odds to win the award, Lisi, at 40-1, alongside Arthur Smith, the head coach of the Falcons, 40-1. Matt Rhule for Carolina might be the first coach fired this year, 40-1. Lovie Smith, the new head coach in Houston, the Texans have a team win total of 3.5, 40-1. And to echo Joe's point that he made just a couple of moments ago, nobody likes Mike McCarthy. He is also tied for one of the longest odds at 40-1 to win this award. And normally you would think, correlating the markets, the team with the fifth best odds in the NFC, the favorites to win their division in the NFC East, the Cowboys, that they would have a coach that's maybe a little bit higher up on this board. But that goes to show you how people view Mike McCarthy and what he does as a head coach. It's tough to really find it, Lisi. It really is. And you look at Zach Taylor, right? Like, go ahead. Yeah, please.
No, Zach Taylor I was going to bring up. But to your point, like, explain to me, well, give me your two picks. The two picks I would make were O'Connell and McDaniels. So if I had a bet, right, $50, let's say. So I would go with McDaniels and O'Connell, because I think both teams have a legitimate shot to win the division. But to defend McDermott, right, at 25-1, why is LaFleur and Shanahan only have shorter odds than McDermott. You're talking about Shanahan that went to the NFC Championship with the San Francisco 49ers. We're talking about LaFleur that has possibly the best quarterback in the game in Aaron Rodgers. So why are they shorter than McDermott?
Couldn't tell you, Joe. And they're, I don't know if they're more established than Sean McDermott. Sean McDermott has obviously done some wonderful things up there in Western New York for the Buffalo Bills, but there is a certain feeling about Matt LaFleur and Kyle Shanahan and where they are in the coaching ranks, maybe at least a public perception ahead of where Sean McDermott might find himself. And again, Sean McDermott also has the benefit of Buffalo being the lovable losers as we have known them over the past decade, and the fact that they've only made the postseason once or twice now in the last couple of seasons, and that they still haven't been able to get over the hump. So if they get past the Chiefs and they get past the Ravens and they get past the Browns and win an AFC championship, then yes, I think Sean McDermott has the award. So I think the value on McDermott is really, really good at 25-1. I mentioned his name, Joe, and it's maybe the only other area I would really look. Nick Sirianni at 16-1, and it's just because I'm high on the Eagles. I think the Eagles have a good shot of winning the NFC East division, as much as that kind of scares me to say. But I think I love what they have done this offseason, at least. I love what they did on draft night and getting A.J. Brown. I really do believe that if Jalen Hurts is ever going to be that dude in Philly, it's going to be this year. And so the correlated success in my mind for the Eagles being a potential divisional winner within the AFC, getting past the Cowboys at plus 240, that price on Philly right now, then you would look at a guy like Nick Sirianni, given what we have just seen out of the coaches of the years in the years past, in the past five seasons, a younger coach that can take a franchise into the postseason. And so that's where I'm looking at this board, Lisa, and I'm like, I don't love a lot of the prices that I see here because I'm not sure the argument. Todd Bowles, maybe at 30-1, his first year as the head coach in Tampa, but Tampa's a runaway favorite in the NFC South and a very short favorite in comparison to win the NFC. So if Todd Bowles does it, is it the Todd Bowles show or is it Tom Brady in his 45th year on this earth, in his 23rd year in the NFL that would get the shine? It's probably the GOAT.
You're right. I mean, Tom Brady would get all the success, right? Carrying that team and carrying that organization. You know, a couple of names on the list, Ben. Kingsbury, 30-1. 30-1 for Kingsbury.
Dennis Allen, 30-1. Dennis Allen I like a little bit better, but not with your money. Am I betting Cliff Kingsbury? I don't know how much longer Cliff has in the desert.
I'm going to take a shot. I'm going to bet your Sirianni, O'Connell, McDaniels, and Campbell. I'm going to lay it out across the board.
Listen,
one
I think there is a world
on easy street.
For sure, because all of these odds are relatively long. I mean, the favorites, the three best prices with Brian Daboll, Doug Peterson, and Brandon Staley are 14-1 right now. $14 on your $1 bet. I mean, it's wonderful payouts if you can guess this market right. But again, it's kind of a guess because that goes to show how long these odds are. Lisi, I'm not against Dan Campbell. Because I don't know, the Lions aren't a playoff team, but if he can get them to 7 or 8 wins and show another very competitive year with how much we all love Dan Campbell and biting kneecaps in the Lions in the Motor City, then maybe there's something there. We'll round out our discussion on NFL schedule release day here on Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
A couple of more minutes here on a Thursday edition on NFL schedule release day of Football Full Circle, live on Sports Grid Radio and Sirius XM channel 159. He is Joe Lisi. I am Ben Stevens. The schedule is going to be released in full tonight, Lisi, but as we know, we already have some games available, some marquee matchups, some of the international games, a random Thursday night game in there, a Monday night doubleheader, and some of the lines have already been set, including including one of those marquee matchups, Joe, that we got word of earlier this week. The NFL, because Christmas falls on a Sunday this year, is taking over the day of Old Saint Nick, an NBA staple for much of our lives. The NFL is going to have a big slate on Christmas Day, and one of those big matchups is the Los Angeles Rams hosting the Denver Broncos in LA. A huge matchup. Russell Wilson, now the quarterback for the Broncos. Of course, the reigning Super Bowl champion, Los Angeles Rams. And right now, Lisi, on FanDuel, the Rams, a 3-point home favorite. How do you see that game going here in early May?
Yeah, I would lay it. I would lay it with the Rams. And that's not saying I think the Rams are going to obviously repeat as Super Bowl champs. But one thing in particular, betting Denver on the road typically is flip a coin. You know, when they had Drew Lock, they maybe could step up against Atlanta. But on the road, I have no confidence. And I certainly have no confidence in Russell Wilson, especially as last year when he went on the road against the Rams as a 7-point dog with Seattle, couldn't cover the game on Tuesday night, even though that controversial DJ Dallas, no pass interference call. He didn't cover then. He won't cover now.
It's going to be interesting, Joe, what that line looks like come Christmas week, because both of these teams have very high expectations, but the Denver Broncos haven't proven anything to us with this new system under Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. So will it be 3 or will it be more by the time we get to Christmas? Lisi, it's been a great week here, my friend. Enjoy the schedule release later tonight.
I can't wait, Ben. I'll see you next week. We'll be back on tomorrow. Love it.
Football Full Circle back tomorrow. I'm here on Monday of next week, and Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside with the Moneyline are up next on Sports Grid Radio.